may be one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples is in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involved in making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of schmaltzy music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe. That today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him.
Hello and welcome to another episode of G220 Radio. This is George Alvarado, and this is going to be a special radio show for basically addressing Chris Date, Rethinking Hell, and trying to set the record straight. The purpose of this specific podcast is really just an open letter, and I really want to be able to get out there not only some of the things that have been happening in the last year concerning my interactions with Rethinking Hell and some of the proponents of them. But I also want to issue a compromise that I think everybody, hopefully, should be happy with, because it's not an unreasonable compromise. I've already talked to some other people. I've told them what I wanted to do. Everybody else seems to be thinking that it's a reasonable compromise between Chris Date and I concerning a moderated debate in the future that we're going to discuss and clarify here. And we're going to see what happens. But before I do, I really want to be able to just lay the groundwork for here. Last week, right around the 30th of September or so, I was posting a lot of different Twitter, Facebook articles concerning the Our Common Salvation articles that I've written about conditionalism. And there were some interactions also with some people who were pressing Chris Date because they wanted to be able to, you know, be grilled in a sense. One of the articles or twits or tweeters that you'll find on Twitter is that Chris Date would love to be grilled by Stand to Reason. And of course, I made a comment concerning why they would want to be grilled by them, but not by me. And then other people started to sort of chime in, and a whole bunch of other things were happening. But one of the things that did occur last week during that time is that Rethinking Hell has sort of issued their agreement, or the things that they would agree upon for debate. They're saying that, you know, in a sense, I was avoiding the debate, or I'm not agreeing to the debate. And there's a reason why I've delayed, and I'm going to get to that in a second. And of course, I want to talk about their conditions of the mutually agreed upon debate that they want to have, and so on and so forth. But last week when that happened, the next day was the Las Vegas shootings. And I have already been dealing with the Puerto Rico disaster. Please pray for my family. I have family in Puerto Rico who have yet to receive certain care packages that we have been trying to send to them. Along with that, you know, local church responsibility, family responsibility, job responsibility. And quite frankly, being hindered by the Lord in such a way provided me the opportunity just to pray about this whole situation. So the reason why I did not respond sooner than later was because I was, quite frankly, hindered. And that's okay. I'd rather be delayed or detoured by the Lord than directed by my own premeditations. So now that the delay, hopefully with the week passing, hopefully it's still not ill-timed with all the disasters and the tragedies that are going on, I want to be able to talk about, at least set a few things straight concerning the last year that's happened with my interactions with Chris Date and Rethinking Hell. Last year, it's actually almost been a year since I've looked. I looked on Facebook and noticed there was like a Rethinking Conditionalism show they were supposed to do. Last year, I had Chris Date invite himself to come on our show. He asked us if he can come on the show and talk about conditionalism. I guess he had heard one of our shows and he wanted to talk about it. And I was already familiar with the ministry at the time, didn't have any issues with him coming on the show, wanted to do some preview interview questioning and ask him some other questions about his position. And it was in that time frame, in those several months, I think one or two actually, where we went back and forth and I asked some questions that I think he wasn't ready for. And of course, in the conversations, there were some things that, you know, we said to each other that we were passionate about. We did interrupt each other a lot, but you know, these are the kind of things you expect from people who are passionate about their position. So we apologized to each other a couple of times. We regrouped, but there was I was astounded by Chris's ability to try to make me feel as though I was presenting the information in a way that was rude, condescending, of course, being a jerk, and a lot of other colorful words that he used toward me. I was puzzled as to why he would want me to, you know, think that I should feel that way, that I was being wrong in my approach and that I wasn't being amicable and that kind of thing. So that was what the thing that concerned me the most, because even though I was giving him some reasons for my arguments, and even though I was telling him and challenging him, quite frankly, on some of the approach that he had on certain passages of scripture, and then after he gave his rebuttal, I gave my, you know, counter rebuttal, or gave him the reasons why I felt like his position was being linguistically deceptive, he wasn't happy about that. And I understand some people aren't happy about that kind of interaction with others. But nevertheless, in that interaction, you know, there was a time that we were going to set to continually speak with one another. We actually put the conversation on pause. I believe he had to go to some conference in London at the time. And we never really got to finish our discussion like we were supposed to. Partly because on the internet at the time, you know, Len Pettis had already posted some of my articles on the internet. There were some people who were interacting with the actual posts. I kept inviting them to come on the show. I told them I wasn't going to do the social media thing. I really wanted to get them on the show to discuss and ask the questions. But there was so much of a resistance even till today. There's still a resistance to want to come on the show and talk to me. And the main excuse is that I'm mean or I'm rude or I'm unable to have a discussion that would be fruitful and ill-tempered. I mean, there was a lot of things that I was getting thrown at me. Far from wanting to really defend myself, even though I've done so recently, just because it's getting kind of tiresome, Chris didn't want anything to do with me after that whole thing happened. Later on, as the months passed, of course, there was more challenges asking Chris, why won't you come on the show? Even other people emailed and asked him, why won't you talk to George? Why won't you debate George? And we even have some of the Facebook comments as well as the inboxes where Chris basically made it clear that he didn't want to talk to me. He didn't want to have a discussion, the kind of discussion he wanted to have, because he felt like I wasn't interested in the same kind of discussion he was interested in. Fine, his prerogative. But it was only till recently that he changed, you know, his tune. He's willing now to have a formal, moderated debate. And this happened just a few months ago. And that's fine if you want to have a formal, moderated debate. But that was not what we first were supposed to have. Especially since you come on the show and asked us if we would be willing to have you on our show to talk about conditionalism. So he changes tune, wanted to do a moderated debate, which, like I said, this is fine. But I've only delayed because of the reason why, when we had the discussions in private, when we discussed some of the things that we discussed and the questions that I was able to ask him, I really wanted to put that on air and talk about the same things that I had asked him about. But maybe now, because he wants to do a moderated debate, he's probably ready, or he feels that he is ready in dealing with some of the questions or even some of the things that I have brought up. Since I've written the articles or maybe even talked about to him in private. And that's fine. If you feel like you're ready to do this, you want to do a formal moderated debate, sure, that's fine. But what I really want is to be able to have this discussion. Now, they're not wanting to have that discussion. And they've made it very clear that they are not going to allow me to have this discussion. This was the agreed upon terms or the invitation to debate. They're saying that I refuse to debate, which I have not refused at all. I've only delayed for this one reason, because he was supposed to come on our show, like I said, first, and discuss this position just like he originally had intended when he first asked us. But these are the terms of the agreement on the Rethinking Hell page. And he says, or they say, I don't know who it was that posted this. It could be Peter Grice or any one of those guys. A debate with a mutually agreed neutral party moderation podcast host, mutually agreed time and date, mutually agreed debate topic and debate format. Take that or leave it. That's the invitation, and those details would remain to be worked out. Fine. First, there's no such thing as a mutually agreed upon, a neutral third party, but nevertheless, that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. As a matter of fact, let's do it. On this one condition, that I would get my interview first. I think that's a healthy compromise. I don't think it's unreasonable. And what I mean by that is that I get my interview first, then we can discuss your conditions. You have my promise that if I get my interview first, without restrictions, without censorship, and what I mean by that is without any sort of coaching or any manipulation on anybody's part in trying to manufacture, guide, or restrict or censor the way the conversation should go, that I would get the freedom to be able to ask Chris the questions that I want to ask him, that I've been wanting to ask him since he first came on the show, and the questions that I did ask him when he had these conversations with me in private, that I have the freedom to do that. Obviously, the questions will be in good taste. I'm not going to be asking personal questions about your marriage or your children, but everything relating to the topic of rethinking hell, conditionalism, annihilationism, everything, definitions, all that jazz. I should be able to have that interview first because it was you, Chris, who first asked to come on our show. You wanted to be able to come on the show and discuss conditionalism, and I asked you a few questions, and it didn't turn out so well. Fine. So if I can get that interview first, then you have my promise. We will discuss your terms of the debate, the formal moderated debate. But once again, I desire that I get the interview first. After the interview is finished and has been accomplished, then we'll go into the debate. I don't think, once again, it's unreasonable. I've asked other people about it, and they say it's perfectly compromisable. It's a perfect compromise. You all get what you want in the context and the setting that you want it in, and of course, I get what I've been wanting for the last year. Now, having said all this, I'm hoping that if this is not what you all desired, Lord willing, will be, then I don't even know what else to do. I wouldn't know what else to put out there to be able to move this forward. But nevertheless, those are my terms. Final thoughts. I'm shocked that it's even gotten to this point. I'm shocked that in the beginning, first it was, you don't want to talk to me at all. You don't want anything to do with me. You've told the people you don't want to do anything with me. You've blocked me on Facebook and Twitter. You've blocked other people on Facebook and Twitter who may have asked you same questions about similar things that I want to ask you about. And at this point, you know, even before, even though you went from you don't want to talk to me to now you're willing to have a formal moderated debate, that we've even gotten to this point. I'm shocked. And another thing, final thought, is I really want to be able to deal as much as possible with the questions at hand that some of my articles have posted, that I posted in my articles, my apologies. And I really want to be able to ask some of the questions that people have been asking, even asking me and asking me to deal with in some of my articles regarding Rethinking Hell, Conditionalism, Chris Date, and even some others that are on the podcast. So, if you all have any questions, whether you're a conditionalist, universalist, which would be very interesting if you're actually listening to this, person who believes in eternal conscious torment, if you have any questions, you can contact us. When it comes to G220 Ministries, you can contact us on Facebook. You can give us an inbox, ask any question you want regarding this invitation or anything else about our ministry, or even the Rethinking Conditionalism articles and debate at hand. And one other thing before I sign off, I really want those who are conditionalists to know this. I do care about you. I don't have personal vendettas against any one of you. I care about you to the point where if I thought that you were my waste of time, I wouldn't continually engage. But just like you all who are listening, I pray, care about the gospel and care about the word of God and the truth of the word of God more, I pray that you see that as well when I'm writing, when I'm dealing with this topic at hand, so that you understand that it's not just some social media warrior, some internet meanie, some digital dastardly duo on, you know, Facebook between me and Ricky Gantz and other people who are just trying to just show you guys up because we just really want to make you look bad. No, there's some legitimate questions and things that people have been curious about, and there's some things that I don't even think those who are conditionalists know about, and I think it would be good to have those questions answered and asked on the air. So with that being said, with everything considered, that is the invitation. And Chris, I hope I get to talk to you again one day. You are on the West Coast. I'm on the West Coast. Matter of fact, we're in the same state. If you want to go out for a cup of coffee, I'm willing. You let me know the date and the time. I believe you still have my number. If not, you can unblock me on Facebook, and you can contact me, inbox me, and we can set up a time and a date. And then maybe, talking face-to-face, we can settle some other things too as well. But let me know. So God bless you guys. Thanks for listening. Once again, until we go home.
Maybe one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples was in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involved making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of schmaltzy music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe that today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you, into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him.